Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
This is the Friends Fister Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor. It's a pleasure to welcome Professor H.J. Mackinder, International Relations, to comment on six capitals. This week, a surprise capital number six. But first, Moscow. Professor, a very good evening to you. The information of the week in the London Telegraph and other European press is that Russia is not only preparing a major offensive, it's underway. The missile attacks, the destabilizing of small governments to disrupt European unity, Moldova, for example, Sweden and Finland blocked by NATO, or Kosovo being armed by suspect characters, probably Wagner Group, and Vucic in Serbia to be neither this nor that, neither EU or Moscow. All the disruption that's possible under the table. But we come to the main battlefield, and the way it's presented is this. Russia has 2,000 armored vehicles and 300,000 soldiers ready to launch a pincer attack on Ukraine. The flanks of the front that runs along the Donbass are the weakness. Russia will attack from the north, driving deep into Ukraine, bypassing the villages and towns, choosing the roadways around all of those exits. And they will attack from the south out of Crimea, driving deep into Ukraine to close the pincer and trap the Ukrainian army in what is called a cauldron. This is not dissimilar from what happened at Stalingrad, when the Germans driving on Stalingrad, bogged down in the urban fighting, had weak flanks, and the Russian attack started in the north, and then it started in the south, and they closed off the resupply to the Sixth Army, which then starved and fought and starved and fought and surrendered. That's the plan that London says is underway in Moscow. What is the point of view of Moscow preparing for this, if it's true, or in any event, here we are in midwinter? Good evening to you, Professor.
Good evening, sir. My firm prediction is that a whole lot is going to happen in the weeks and months ahead. We're coming up on the first year anniversary of the Ukraine war, and it may turn out that in many ways this was a dress rehearsal, or this was the kind of first act which was just supposed to introduce the characters and all the rest, and the real action is coming up sooner. We must never forget that the Russians can really fight, and if they really have to win on this second go. I've heard 300,000 to 500,000 men, 2,000 tanks. Of course, they've got air power that Ukraine lacks. They've got far more artillery than Ukraine. It's a huge campaign that they're preparing. On the other hand, it is their last throw. If they don't win this time, then they're not going to have any reserves to draw on, and they're going to be in a very, very difficult situation. So they must win. And not only must they must win completely. The way to think of this is the way that Cato thought of Carthage, Carthago est delenda. Carthage must be destroyed. Wasn't clear why that was the case, but Russia has to expunge Ukraine. They have to erase Ukraine, because you cannot partition. You cannot make a stable partition of Ukraine, even if that were a desirable thing. It's impossible. The level of anger, the level of hostility, the level of involvement, the level of sunken costs and so forth is just too high. This is a war that's not going to be a tie. It's one side is going to win and the other side is going to lose. Now, we have to understand that all Ukraine has to do to win is to prevent the Russians from winning completely. They have to mess up this offensive. Whereas for Putin, if he does not erase, expunge Ukraine, this is going to be a defeat, because Ukraine will just keep coming back. If you study the history of it, they're talking about all these Nazis and stuff in Ukraine. It's basically rubbish. But there was the Ukrainian leader Bandera in the period before the wars. And if you're basically have got Russia on one side and Germany on the other side, that's not a very good choice. But Bandera is thought to have allied with the Germans, as most countries do that are faced with a choice between Germany or Russia. Luckily, we're not faced with that. Now, as you said, the Russians are envisioning a pincer attack from east to west, from the north of the Donbass to west of Kiev, and then from the south, gradually converging somewhat to the west of Kiev. In other words, they're envisioning, not only are they envisioning a lot of hard fighting, they're envisioning moving a major army 500 miles or more across Ukraine, and in the process, somehow enveloping and annihilating the Ukrainian army. Now, this is very, very ambitious. As Clausewitz observed, the defense is stronger than the offense. For the offensive to work, everything has to go right. For the offensive to fail, one or two things have to go wrong. There just have to be some setbacks. And there have to be, there are almost certain to be logistical problems. There's always the element of uncertainty, friction in war. It's not going to work like clockwork. And just one point I would mention, of course, the land is wet right now. Much of the area of the of northern Ukraine going into southern Russia is marshland, the so-called Pripyat marshes, and this is not good country for tanks. It'd be much better to have this offensive in May, but the Russians want to win fast because. By May, who knows, maybe the Ukrainians will be better armed. So the analogy that I would make is we're not going to end up with a long, long war that just is slogged out and slogged out. I mean, not immediately. Think of a World War I battle, something like Verdun or the Battle of the Somme, which was fought at the same time, but was actually far more important strategically. Verdun lasted 303 days. It was all fought in one place, 700,000 dead and wounded. And, of course, it was not a success for either the Germans or the French, although the French held the field and the Germans withdrew. But it made no real difference. In this case, the Russians have to win fast, because if you're trying to go 500 miles with columns of armor across Ukraine from east to west, I mean, those tanks have got to roll. I mean, you can't have them being hauled out of marshes and stuff all the time. They've really got to move, and that is going to be a challenge. Also, if things start going badly, who knows? Maybe the Allies will start giving the Ukrainians better stuff. And the Russians, as I said, they have to win overwhelmingly, and they must then occupy what will be an extremely hostile population of about
just 1 million, professor. 1 minute, go ahead.
Okay, 40 million. They have to control. They have to control this hostile population. They have to feed them. They have to win their allegiance. Now, I don't think it's absolutely impossible for the Russians to succeed. There are reasons, but I think it's unlikely. And should they succeed, in fact, Ukraine will be an overwhelming burden for Russia. A new degree of hostility will be created in Eurasia, and effectively the Russians will gain nothing.
Speaking with Professor H.J. Machener, Six Capitals, Six Points of View. We're headed to Kyiv. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No.